You brought your Bible, I hope you did. Turn with me. If you didn't, there's one in the pew in front of you. I'll be reading from New American Standard Version. That's the English Standard Version in front of you if you need that. They'll be fairly close in the language. But if you'll turn with me to James chapter 1. I love the book of James. I've preached through the book of James, taught through the book of James. I've studied it in many hours, and I just think it's one of the greatest texts, the Epistle of James. James chapter 1, beginning with chapter 1, verse 2 through verse 6. Verse 2 through verse 6. And I've entitled today's message, How to Profit from Your Problems. Now, you folks, let me tell you something. You're going to have problems. We're going to talk about that. How do we overcome some of those? This is kind of one of those encouraging, hopefully encouraging how-to messages to kind of spur us on in our journey today. James chapter 1, beginning with the second verse through the sixth verse. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Verse 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And if you are one of these kind of people like myself that likes to underscore things in the scriptures, that would be one of those phrases that you should underscore. Let him ask of God, who gives all to all generously without reproach, and will be given to him. And he must ask in faith. That's a key word, but he must ask in faith without any doubt, for the one who doubts is like a surf of the sea and driven and tossed by the wind. Let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, be acceptable in your sight today. Lord, we ask you that you speak precisely to us today through your word. Father, thank you for the joy that we have today. Father, we thank you for your word. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It will ward off the evil one if we hide it into our hearts. And Father, it's also a comfort blanket in time of need. When we are in the midst of problems in our lives, when we need comforting, we can always go to your inerrant, infallible word to find that comfort. But Lord, as well, your word is a roadmap for daily living. It is that which we can rely on, that will not take us off course. It will keep us on course. And Father, when we're going through trials and tribulations, more importantly than ever, your word will always guide us. It will always be that guiding light. And we thank you for that. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, today as we unpack your word and we come through a few principles today, I pray that we walk away from this place more encouraged and more directed on how to understanding how we can develop a faith that indeed works, how we can overcome, how we can profit from the problems that we will face. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Counterfeiting is still happening today. There are people who try to counterfeit money. In fact, the matter is, there was an article recently, and about a month or so ago, where they busted a counterfeit ring in Birmingham, of all places. They were counterfeiting $10 bills. $10 bills. Now, if you're going to counterfeit something, 10 bucks is not what I would go for. Man, I'd get me one of them big $100. Those Benjamins, let's counterfeit them things. But they caught them counterfeiting $10 bills, and they weren't even using money-grade paper. They were just running it off, and they were trying to pass this off, and they actually passed it off. Yeah, it was in Mississippi where they passed it off. It wasn't in Alabama. You know, we caught that stuff over there in Alabama. But those precious saints over in Mississippi, bless their hearts, they let some of those counterfeit $10 bills slide into their economy over there. So counterfeiting is a major problem in our society. The forgery of money, credit cards is a major issue today. You know, you need to hide when you punch your PIN number in that thing. And that little chip has taken some of the problem away, but I'm finding out now that that little chip that's on your debit card, it's really not that safe. So you need to be real careful about that. Jewelry is another thing that they try to counterfeit. Jewelry, that this piece of jewelry is really real. It's a beautiful diamond when it's really not really one. It's that zirconia stuff. It's really just glass. It looks like, but it's not really. Works of art. There's been some people that's try to counterfeit works of art and sell it off. And some have gotten away with it at some times. And virtually everything that is of value has tried to be passed off as genuine to deceive those who are receiving that counterfeited item. Consequently, valuable commodities must be carefully examined for its uniqueness. I have a friend that works for the Department of Treasury, and he says how we understand counterfeit is that we study the real thing. We really know what the real thing looks like. We put it under a scope. We look hours upon hours upon hours in looking at what that $100 bill, what that $50 bill looks like, what that 20, that 10, maybe 5 and even 1s. They look at, they count, they examine their uniqueness and their genuineness. That's also true. There's some counterfeit Christianity out there. There are some counterfeit Christianity. There's some counterfeit faith walkers out there. And folks, let me tell you, a right relationship with the living and glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, is the only way that you can really determine a person in their true walk with Christ, the God of the universe that is inside that person's life, that's driving them. The promise of eternal security in their life is permeated, comes out of their life. They're living out their faith. We should all, from time to time, all of us in this room from time to time, and I praise God for the men, the 24 men that went off this weekend and they did some counterfeit checking, so to speak. They had a word of encouragement. They got together in that iron sharpening iron. But every one of us should from time to time, we should check our faith from the heart up. We should have a healthy examination of our own lives. We should check the validity of our salvation to not be deceived like counterfeit money will deceive you. We can receive, and I did receive a counterfeit $20 bill one time. I received one. And then I tried to pass it on. They tried to get me. And I said, no, I just got this. It's in my wallet. I wouldn't do it. So they had realized that it was in sequence and they knew that it was counterfeit. They were looking for those sequence of bills. And folks, we need to have, I had a $20 loss there, so to speak. But that's just a temporary loss of income, right? A counterfeit faith. You could lose your eternal security if you're truly not saved by his grace. Satan is the master of counterfeiting. It results in using gifts and works. And so you ought to be able to do this or say that or speak in this language or be able to utter this. And he will dangle these counterfeits out there to help us, to keep us off track. He realizes once we're saved by his glorious grace, and if we're truly saved by his glorious grace, he knows that we cannot be plucked out of the hand of God. So if we are genuinely saved by his grace, he understands that. So what he does, he dangles that, work your way to it. Do this, do that, give that. Be a part of this certain tribe or this certain church is enough. You don't have to go out there and share your faith. You don't have to go out there and live a totally surrendered life. Because of this danger of counterfeit faith, God gives us his word. It's not counterfeit. It is without error. It is God's infallible, inerrant word of the living God. We don't have him verbally speaking to us any longer. But we have his word, and it is real, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword, as I said. It is a comfort blanket. It is a roadmap for daily living. It calls for profession of faith to be testified. tested and to check its validity from time to time. The psalmist said in 139, verse 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful ways in me, and lead me to an everlasting way." Goes on in Psalms 26, verse 1. He pleads, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me, and test my mind and my heart." Lamentation goes on to say, Jeremiah cries out, Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. I'm here to challenge us today, brothers and sisters. We need to evaluate our lives from the heart up. From the heart up, meaning the heart is that thing that really drives us. It's that soul that drives us throughout the scriptures and repeatedly stress the necessity of testing our faith is found to finding and giving us encouragement. John the Baptist challenged the religious leaders of his day, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Paul admonishes their church at Galatians. He said this, each one must at work examine his own work. Test yourselves to see if your in the faith, examine yourselves, or do not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you indeed fall and be tested. Folks, let me tell you, Paul said we need to examine ourselves all the way through scriptures. We are chosen. We are encouraged to examine ourselves, to extend the validity of our salvation, faith in Christ Jesus. I love what Paul reminds the church in Ephesus, where he goes down and says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, we all love that verse, those two verses. We love that part of the salvation experience. We love that understanding we're saved by his grace, and we leave it there often because we don't want to go into verse 10, because here's what it says. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. He goes on to say that for by grace that God in Titus, for by grace God has appeared bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly righteous and godly in the present age. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying that we are going to go through some trials and tribulations in our lives. It is not going to stop when you call a new senior pastor. It's not going to happen. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through testings. You're going to go through aches and pains. You're going to have your hip hurting and your knee hurting and your head hurting, your hair hurting. You're going to have all kinds of situations going through your life. Just because you call a senior pastor doesn't mean you're not going to go through some pains. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, the thing that will walk you through the pain, through the emotional tragedy, through the test of your faith is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. So today, brothers and sisters, I want to give you four facts that I believe that will help us to know how we can profit from our problems. One of my favorite authors is a lady who is in heaven today. Her husband was a phenomenal missionary. Many of us have studied these three or four men. It was the guys that were killed by the Akua Indians down in South America. They were men of God. Jim Elliott, Pete Fleming, and Nate Saint, those three men of God who were killed by the Akua Indians while they were proclaiming God. And one of the wives, Elizabeth Elliott, wrote Through Gates of Splendor, one of my favorite books. It's one of the books that I read every year as a reminder of the call on my life to as an encourager, as a missionary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, no, I thought you were a transitional pastor." I am, but I'm really a missionary. I'm a missionary. Yes, I'm on loan from the state of Alabama to the state of Georgia, Fairburn First Baptist Church. I'm on mission. Everybody is on mission. So I read that. And she wrote in her memoir, she said this, "Faith does not eliminate questions," and Elizabeth Elliott goes on to say, "but faith knows where to take them." Faith knows where to take the questions, how you deal with the issues of life. I think there are four facts. Number one, problems are inevitable. It doesn't say if you have trials. It doesn't say that. The Bible never says, if you encounter problems, consider it a joy. It says, whenever you counter, consider, my brother, when you encounter various trials. Brothers and sisters, problems are inevitable. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulations. Peter said, do not be surprised when you have problems. It is a fact of life. Count on it. You're going to go through them. You may face some today. You may face some before you leave here today. We are going to have problems. They're going to happen. It's how we deal with the problems. Problems are not an elective in life. It's not something that you sign up for. It's not a class that you enroll in. It is life. We are going to have them. They are a required course in life for the Christ follower. Whenever you face trials, Scott Peck's book, The Road Less Traveled, the first sentence is this: life is difficult. Did that encourage you? When I read that book and I read that first book, it's like Rick Warren's book, you know, Purpose Driven Life. It's not about you. Boy, that encourages you right there, doesn't it? Right? I thought it was about me. I know y'all thought it was about me too, did you? Right? It's not about me, but life is difficult. Brothers and sisters, we will go through them. It is inevitable that we will go through problems. We will have sickness. We'll have trials. We'll have tribulations. We will lose family members. We're dealing with a couple right now. She's our minister to children at our church. One of our ministers to children at Brook Hills. Her 22-year-old son's car veered off the road coming home from college. Hit a tree, burst into flames. He never knew what hit him. He's in heaven today. And Donna Hightower is struggling with this right now. But she realizes that problems are inevitable. She realized that. She stood and her husband stood and testified, we know that Travis is in heaven today because we were there when he came to faith in Christ. She was proclaiming her faith in the midst of the most difficult trials and tribulation as a parent goes through. Problems are inevitable. Number two, problems are unpredictable. Don't you wish you could get your planner out or your iPad or your electronic notes and you could just say, okay, on this day, May the 3rd or May the 2nd or May the 4th, I'm going to just let my problems hit that day. That's when I want my problems to hit because I'm going to get ready for them. I'm going to get geared up for them. It didn't say whenever you face trial. It says whenever you face trial. You will face trials. I want to tell you, if you come up to me after and say, I've never been through any trials and tribulations, I want to step back because something's about to happen. I want to get away from a bend because something, I don't want that lightning bolt to ease over and catch me as well when it strikes them, right? Folks, it says, whenever you face trials, the word face in the Greek, it means to fall into an unexpectedly point. Trials are not planned. We seldom can anticipate when problems are going to come our way. They're part of life. So problems are inevitable. Problems are unpredictable. And thirdly, problems are of many kinds. They're of many kinds. It doesn't say whenever. It says whenever you face, meaning you are going to have those problems. They are different sizes, different kinds. And it says, let us endurance and have a perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It said, the Bible tells us that these trials will come in various sizes, various kinds. I saw a sign recently. It says, into every life comes some rain must fall. But this is ridiculous. Recently, I was caught in some heavy, heavy rain, and I thought about that sign that I saw on the side of the road. There's going to be some rain every now and then, but sometimes it's just ridiculous, right? It's just overwhelming. So, brothers and sisters, life is inevitable. Problems are inevitable. Problems are unpredictable, and problems come in all shapes and forms and sizes and of many kinds. Problems, fourthly, are purposeful, excuse me. They are purposeful. They are purposeful. And pain has come has some value in it. I know that the athletes in the room say no pain, no gain. I can tell you sometimes I really would just like to have the gain without the pain. Amen. I mean, there's times of getting up these stairs. It's like, can I just get up there and stay and not walk back down and come back up? The old knees are hurting so bad today. The arthritis is hurting today. But pain, there is no gain unless you go through some pain. Problems fortify, they purify my faith. Job 23:10, one of the great, great Old Testament figures is Job. And he says in verse 10, "For when I am tried and purified, I shall turn forth as gold." Simply meaning you will not turn forth as gold unless you got to go through some of the heat. God may have to turn the heat up a little bit on us to fortify our faith, to purify our faith. So problems are purposeful. They purify my faith. Problems fortify our patience. I can be quite frank with you. That's an area in my own personal journey that God has gotten my attention. I don't have a lot of patience. I know that shocks some of y'all because I'm so mild-mannered and relaxed and, you know, I'm not driving or I'm not in charge. I just patience. And my wife is the Holy Spirit that uses, you know. She just reaches over and grabs me and says, "Relax." After 37 years, she gets my attention and says, "Relax." And early in our marriage, I'd say, "But they are not doing what I'm telling them to do." She said, "Well, guess what? You're not doing what God tells you to do." Wow. Who died and let you be the Holy Spirit is what I want to say. Amen. Right? Folks, let me tell you something. Problems purify my faith. Problems fortify our patience. Chapter 1, verse 3. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. When he puts us in that heat, he is testing us. It fortifies our patience. It purifies my faith. And thirdly, problems sanctify my character. That sanctify, that's one of those real churchy words, isn't it? It's one of those big churchy words we like to use. Sanctification, we sanctify. But problems sanctify my character. That makes us like Jesus. He created us to be like him. John 17:17, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. James 1:22-25, the word makes us like Jesus. So brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you go through the trials. Problems are inevitable. They're unpredictable. They are of many kinds and they are purposeful. They fortify our patience, they purify our faith, and they sanctify our character. So that brings me to this, and I'm going to shut it down quickly today. How do we handle the problems that we will face? We could order up all kinds of books on how to overcome and video series, and you know, we can blog into a number of different teachers around the country, but I really think the word tells us best, does it not? How do we handle our problems? Number one, we rejoice. We rejoice because that's what the word says. Consider it joy. I'm going to go through some problems. Hallelujah. Now, how many of y'all, if you know the problems that you're about to go through, how many of you would stand up and say, "Hallelujah, I'm going through the joy"? Not a one of us in here. And if you are, you're telling a story right now. Not a one of us. But the Bible tells us when we face the trials, when we face the situation, when we face the tribulation, consider it a joy. That's what James tells us. Not my words, but his words. Under the illumination of the Holy Spirit, James is writing what God put into his heart. We don't rejoice for the problem. We rejoice in the problem. We don't thank God for the situation. We thank God while we're in the situation. So rejoice, brothers and sisters, when you're going through the problems. Secondly, request. request. Make your request known to the God of the universe. He already knows them, but he wants you to communicate with him. Pick it up in verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask God, who gives all too generously without reproach. Folks, let me tell you something. I am not smart enough. I know it's going to shock you when I say this, but I'm not smart enough to handle them all. I've got to have somebody guide me. We're in a transition period ourselves now. We're about to transition from one church to hopefully the next church. We don't know where it's going to happen, but you know, somebody asked me, where are you going next? I have no idea. And I said it with a smile on my face. You know why? Because I consider it a joy. I know it's God has got a plan and purpose. I'm not worried about it. I'm just knowing God has got it all worked out. And I rejoice in that. And I'm not here to give any sympathy. I'm not, because I know God has a perfect plan. He's called us all to the work that we're in. Every one of us. So rejoice and make your requests known. Pray all the times to pray, and pray when you, not just when you have the problems, but pray, requesting guidance each and every step of the way. So rejoice, request, and number 3, this one's hard for me. Relax. Take a deep breath. Now I want to be honest. How many of y'all are anxious right now? Just a little bit. Come on, be honest. A little bit anxious. You don't have any idea who's coming to be your next senior pastor. You're anxious, aren't you? Guess what? Several months ago, you entrusted a group of people, did you not? We commissioned them, unanimously voted for them. We commissioned them, and we've been praying for them, and we've been bringing them before the Lord, and they've gone through every step of the process, I hope. They've gone through every step of the way, and I believe they have. They have. They haven't. They're going to just lie and say, yes, we have. Right? They've gone through the process. Relax. Take a deep breath, everybody. Why? Because the God of the universe knows exactly what's about to happen. Now, we can mess it up. Amen? Why? Because we're knuckleheads. And we can mess it up. But let's relax. Trust God, who knows what's best for your life. Cooperate with his purpose, so you don't short circuit the process whatsoever. When you're going through the trials, go through them. Relax. Take the good and the bad, because he is shaping you. Job went through some stuff. Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Job says, no, when I'm tried, when I'm purified, I shall turn forth as gold. Folks, that is a portrait of faith. So how do you do it? Know that there's problems coming. They're inevitable. Know they're unpredictable. They're of many kinds, and they're purposeful. They have meaning for us. So how do we handle it? Rejoice, request, bring them to the Lord, and relax. James chapter 1 verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. When he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Relax and enjoy the journey.